Welcome to the New Braunfels OPC Sermon Archive. New Braunfels OPC is a mission work of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church and desires to proclaim the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ to New Braunfels and the surrounding communities. Today's sermon is preached by Pastor Carl Miller. Let's listen in.
Well, if you have your Bibles with you this evening, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. And our text this evening will be verses 7 through 11. 1 John chapter 2, verses 7 through 11. Let's go before the Lord once again, asking Him to bless the preaching of His word. Lord, You have told us that heaven and earth will pass away, but Your words will by no means pass away. May we take great comfort in this, O God. Help us also to be diligent to hear, to meditate on, and put Your very word into practice in our lives. Give us attentive ears now, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Hear now the holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible, authoritative word of God written for you and for me today. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's word. Well, congregation of the Lord, if you remember last week, we considered a test of assurance of our salvation. How we know that we know Jesus. We have confidence in our faith as we display the fruit of purposeful obedience, keeping His commandments. As His redeemed children, we have been deeply changed. We have a different relationship with Christ. We have a different relationship with sin. We have a different relationship with His Word. We have a God-given desire to be students and followers of the Word. We desire to keep God's Word in our hearts, even as we know that God promises to write it in our hearts. And today we will consider another test of assurance, as John now moves from his general exhortation of keeping his commandments to something more specific. If we truly know Him, as we walk in the light, as we abide in Him, and walk as He walked, we are going to have a different relationship with His people. How did Jesus walk? He walked in obedience to His Father and with love toward His children. And so as we look at our text this evening, we will consider John's expanded instruction on obedience to Christ as he focuses our attention to a commandment that Jesus himself has given us. And we will consider this in three main points. First, the oldness and newness of the commandment we see in verses 7 and 8. Secondly, in verse 9, a false profession of love. And thirdly, the outworking of the true profession of love, which we see in verses 10 and 11. But John begins verse 7 by talking about the oldness and newness of this commandment that we've received. Verse 7, "Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment, which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning." Now, in this passage, John addresses for the first time a theme in this epistle which he returns to again and again. It is the summation of all that Jesus was and all that he came to do. And this theme is stamped on the apostle's heart in such a way that it becomes a litmus test, so to speak, of true Christianity. And we will see this unfold in the chapters ahead of us. So it's appropriate that John lovingly addresses his readers as brethren, as he begins a portion of his letter where he speaks to brotherly love. And we considered many passages together where this address is given. However, we need to see today the familial connection that John had with the people, as well as the familial connection he was reminding them of that they had with each other. He says, "I write no new commandment to you." Now, as we consider this, we may find ourselves thinking, well, Pastor John says this commandment isn't new here, but he says it is new in verse 8. How can it be both? Which one is it? Is it old or is it new? And what we are taught here in these verses is that this commandment isn't novel. It had been given before, from the beginning, when Jesus began to teach. It didn't originate from John's lips, but rather from the lips of Christ. And remember that he has been talking about obedience. In the Greek language, there are two words that are translated new. One means new in regards to a point in time. The other means new in kind. And John used the word meaning new in kind. It often describes something that is novel or strange in contrast to something that is known and familiar. So what John meant is that the commandment he referred to wasn't novel or strange to them, but was familiar to the people. He reminded them of something they already knew, something that they had already heard. And so what was the old commandment? It's interesting that John doesn't mention the commandment to which he refers in detail. But yet he expects that his readers knew exactly which commandment he spoke of. Let's take a look at John chapter 13 in the Gospel of John, verses 31 through 34. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 34. You can turn with me there if you'd like. It says, "So when he had gone out, Jesus said, 'Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples." Note that. By all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And Jesus repeated this commandment, as we see in John 15, 9 through 14, when he said, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So, beloved, we see this great testimony, these great words from our Lord Jesus himself, not only about his relationship with his disciples, his relationship with us, but also in love. In his love for us, in our love, in how that love is related to his commandments, and how it is that we show, how it is that we bear witness that we are his disciples. It's that we love one another. And that we do, as he said in verse 14 there, that we do whatever he commands. We also find further reference in John's epistles elsewhere. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, we read this, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment." And then a chapter later, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 21, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." Note that. That he who loves God must love his brother also. And then moving on to 2 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we read there, "Now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." Have you thought about that before, beloved? This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Just as Jesus said in the passage before, remember what he said there, "You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And this is my commandment," verse 12, "that you love one another as I have loved you." Right? So our understanding of love, Christ helps us in the definition of love, so to speak, in understanding that the evidence of love and love itself, in part in its definition, is following and walking according to the commands of God. So all of this tells us how important Christ's commandments to love one another was to John and to the early Christians. He didn't even have to name the commandment, and he confidently expected them to know what he talked about. Now, in what way could John consider the commandment of God to be old? The command that God's people love one another dates back to the Old Testament. Consider Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18, there we read, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And this was God's command to them. So note that, "But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Right? God tells us and identifies who he is, even here in Leviticus, as a point of emphasis. His being the Lord, his being our Lord, puts emphasis to the need of doing what he had just said. And that was loving our neighbors as ourselves. Remember, when asked by a lawyer what the greatest commandment of the law was, Jesus replied, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" Luke chapter 12. And so John said, in the sense that the commandment has been given from the beginning, it is old. But he went on to say that it was also new. Verse 8, "Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." Now notice, this commandment is new because it is in Christ. It is true in him, John said. Jesus Christ and his self-sacrificing love are the example and focus of true love. He is love. He gives us love. His Spirit works love in and through us so that it is evident to others. But notice what he says at the end of chapter 8. "Because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining." I think Matthew Henry said it well when he commented, "Your deplorable ignorance of God and of Christ is now past. We see that grace, which was true in Christ, be true also in us. The more our darkness is past and the gospel light shines unto us, the deeper should our subjection to the commandments of our Lord, whether considered old or new, be." You know, sometimes it may seem that the darkness is stubborn and spreading rather than passing away. Sometimes it may seem like it's hard to see the light or the effects of its rays. But consider John's words carefully and be encouraged. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. The shining light of Jesus Christ changes things. It changes everything. The life-changing light of the gospel of Jesus is shining in our hearts, dispelling and pushing out darkness. And note the connection of that and obedience. The more that that happens, the deeper our subjection should be to keeping his commandments. So we see this connection. We see this connection with the light pushing out the darkness, even as it relates to keeping the commandments of God. And so considering this command, we see another test of assurance in verse 9, don't we? The test of love. Verse 9, "He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now." So this is a false profession of walking in the light, is it not? You can say, "I'm walking in the light, I love the Lord." But John says, if you hate, literally detest, or love less, or esteem less, if you hate your brother, you aren't in the light, but are in darkness. You know, John gives us many occasions in this epistle where we need to check ourselves. This is another one. Again, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Flapping our gums about loving Jesus while having hatred in our hearts or venom coming out of our mouths toward brothers and sisters in the Lord? It shows and says something, but it's not good. Don't think if you're walking around hating your brother that you are walking in the light. Again, confession and repentance are needed here. We see that time and time again in these tests of assurance, right? Love belongs in the kingdom of light. So if this is an identification, a litmus test, so to speak, of a false profession of love, then what does John say about truly abiding in the light? Verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Now notice the abiding language here. John uses this a lot because Christ used it. Abiding otherwise means dwelling, right? If we abide somewhere, we are dwelling there, right? It's not just that we've put up a temporary tent and we're moving on in a couple of hours. No, we're dwelling there. And this should draw our attention to Christ's words in John chapter 15, verses 4 through 11, where Jesus teaches the importance and evidence of abiding in him. In verse 4, he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Note that. What John calls us to do, what Christ calls us to do, is what he has done by his own example. What he has done with his relationship with the Father is the exact thing that he is calling us to do with him. Verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." We hear that again. We've heard that chapter 1, 1 John, did we not? "And these things I write," or we write to you, remember that John said in chapter 1, verse 4, "that your joy may be full." And what were they writing about? They were writing about Jesus. They were writing about the Word of Life, the one that was manifest, the one that they had seen and heard and handled, that they were now telling to us, the one that they had witnessed, that our joy would be full. And here, notice what Jesus says. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." When the joy of Christ is in us, when we grasp and we understand these things that he has told us, when we grasp and we grow in our understanding of his love, when we grasp and we understand how that love is connected in keeping his commandments, how that is evident of us being his disciples, as we grasp that relational bond in being his children and belonging to his family, indeed our joy is full. Indeed, our joy is full. Our abiding in Christ, the true vine, causes us to bear fruit, even the fruit of the Spirit. Now remember what John said in verse 6, if you turn back to 1 John. He who says he abides in him ought himself to also walk just as he walked. So when we love our brothers and sisters, we walk as Jesus walked. We demonstrate that we abide in him and thus abide in the light. Notice that's what he says at the beginning of verse 10, isn't it? He who loves his brother abides in the light. So how do you know that you abide in the light? Again, a test of assurance. Do you love your brother? So further, John further then drives home what is true for those who hate their brothers in verse 11. He says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Note that such a person is not only in darkness, but he walks in darkness. We see the continuity, we see the importance, we see the connections here in this language of being in, of abiding in, of walking in the light or walking in darkness. But here he says, such a person is not only in darkness, but walks in darkness. And he doesn't know where he's going. Now, for some, that's a really hard pill to swallow, if you think about it. Because we would love to minimize that. Say, well, it's not that big of a deal, is it? No, I mean, that clearly doesn't mean that if I'm doing that, I'm in darkness, does it? That I just don't know where I'm going. I think I know where I'm going. I know exactly where I'm going. Well, reality is that you're not going where you think you're going. For John says, he doesn't know where he's going. And why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And here, of course, we are talking about, and John's referring not to physical eyes, but to spiritual eyes. Right? The darkness has blinded his eyes. Beloved, that's what darkness does. It blinds. It blinds eyes. The light opens eyes. The light illuminates. The light makes things clear. The light brings life. But the darkness blinds, it destroys, it leads astray. So this person whom John is speaking of in verse 11 has no principle, no light to guide or to govern them, so that their whole lives are in continual error. And further, because they're blind, they can't understand the consequences of the course that they are on in their lives. And so therefore, my friends, we must be those who abide in the light. Who abide in the light. Who dwell in the light. We must be those who have a different relationship with God's word, with sin, and with God's people. We must be those who hear the commands of Christ to love the brethren and say wholeheartedly, "Yes, Lord, we will do so, and we will seek to do so with our whole hearts. Help us, Lord." In the trenches of daily life, the outworking of this love must be evident in our lives in every sphere and situation. There can't be a brother who we detest. There can't be a sister who we hate. Satan tempts us to rationalize bitterness or resentment towards our brothers and sisters. And if we give in to that, we will slowly divide and pull away from one another more and more. And that's not the worst of it. But that will happen. We can easily be tempted to throw in the towel, to lack commitment to reconcile. And if you think about what hatred is about in relationships, reconciliation is huge in that. Because hatred has developed as the relationship has crumbled. And as our view of that person and our lack of love towards that person and the roots of bitterness and pride, envy, fill in the blank as they have taken root and have blossomed in our hearts. We don't want to go down that path. For the glory and sake of Christ, we must not go down that path. Satan also tempts us to think that it would be so much better to pull away and to separate from true brothers and sisters in Christ instead of being quick to restore and to heal open wounds. We're told in Scripture, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and do not sin, but do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. We need to be quick to restore and heal open wounds. We need to love our brothers, even though it may be hard, even though it may be painful or uncomfortable. And so we must be those who follow and obey our master. We must be those who say, I don't care how uncomfortable or painful it is to walk forward to reconcile with this person, but I love them, their family, and I will press on in obeying my Lord and loving my brothers. In a huge part, why? Because he's commanded me to do so. And I will do so, showing the fruit that I am a child of his. So do you have a different relationship with God's people, beloved? Think about this evening. Be encouraged in the Lord and by your Lord in the work that he is doing in your heart, the work that he is doing in relationships that you are part of, and give him glory. Amen. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening. We hope that you are blessed by what you heard today. To listen to more New Braunfels OPC sermons or to find more information about our church, please visit our website at www.nbopc.org.